Yes, that is the message we want every one of our children to hear. God is with you and God is for you. And so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And today we're going to look at the example of a godly mother named Jochebed. It's not a name you hear very often in our culture, in the Hebrew culture. She and her husband named Amram, another name you don't hear very often. They have a child named Moses. And today I want to share with you a message I've entitled, Messages from Moses' Mom. I hope, ladies, you'll hear these words of encouragement. And men, I hope you will hear these messages that God's Word teaches us about motherhood and that your role of supporting moms, and you're there encouraging them, helping them, cheering them on in their unique and God-given role of having children and nurturing children. Yes, we have a role as dads to be parent, and yes, some of that is also nurturing, but let's face it, there's no substitute for a godly mama. God puts that role in the realm of ladies, and it is a cherished, valuable role. We can learn something about motherhood from Moses' mom. Moses' parents are in the Hall of Fame of parents. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have the Hall of Fame of people of faith that helped us show what does it mean to believe and live for God. And lo and behold, Moses' parents make the list. In Hebrews 11, 23, it says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were afraid of the king's, the Pharaoh's, edict. Today, I want us to center in on this story found in Exodus chapter 1 and 2. You can take your Bibles and follow along if you like, or you like to use a Bible app, you can do that in your favorite translation. I'm going to take selected passages through those chapters. We find ourselves in a unique part of history of the Hebrews and Egypt. You recall many centuries earlier, Joseph was raised up and he became a savior type for the Hebrews in a world of famine, and also the Egyptians. And though he arrived in Egypt in an odd way, God used him there and put him in second in command and helped lead a land through famine in a region. And his brothers and families and father make their way down to Egypt. And here we have the story now, centuries later. The Hebrews, though enslaved now by the Pharaohs of Egypt, are growing in population. So much that there comes up a Pharaoh who knew not the story of Joseph. He has no appreciation for his own country's history and the impact that the Hebrews had in saving their people. Now he only sees this growing minority of immigrants, non-native Egyptians, as a threat to his control. And it gets serious. In Exodus chapter 1:12, the Bible says that the more that the Pharaohs oppressed the Hebrews, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. Yes, they tried every trick in the book to try to make life so hard on the families, these slave families of the Israelites in their country, making bricks eventually with no real supplies to make true bricks, just to make it harder and harder and to enslave them. And yet the exact opposite happened. They had more children. Their families grew. The worst of times brought the best of times for God's people. What's a lesson we learn? Mom, you must be strong. No, I'm not talking about overcoming physical obstacles and even physical oppression in society. We live in America. We don't have that type of thing. Most of us don't fear that the government is somehow going to physically come take us out of our homes or put us in some enslaved encampment, a slave encampment. We don't fear that type of thing. But what you ought to be aware of is the spiritual opposition that is going on in our country against motherhood. And it's been going on now for decades. We have devalued in this culture motherhood and family. You say, Pastor, give me some numbers. Well, I'll give you one number. You need 2.1 children per woman, per couple, mom and dad, to just maintain your population. 2.1 children, births. Right now, the U.S. is at the lowest reproductive rate in our history. That ought to catch your attention. We cannot sustain our own population. We are a declining nation. You say, Pastor, I've looked at our population. Let me tell you why our population is doing as good as it is. Legal immigration. Legal immigration is what we require and have for decades just to break even and keep enough people so we have employees to run this nation's economy just to live the style of life we think America can be the leader in the world that God has put us in. We have to immigrate legally people into our country just to keep us at the even threshold. Why? Because we have devalued family. Mothers, I'm telling you, I get it. You're being told you need to put other things ahead of being a mother. You need to go do this first and do this. And we're putting off marriage, and young men and young women are getting married later and later, which means they're having their children later and later. And then all of a sudden you realize, well, wait a minute, we can't have it so many kids at this rate because we started so much later. And then you have so few. And I get it. I'm not trying to be your guide on family planning. Terry and I had our own family planning. One child before seminary and one child after seminary. And if you ever want to know why there's 4.5 years difference, there you go. I was working and going to seminary, and so I stretched a 3-year degree into 4.5 years. Hey, I'm not taking you back to Little House in the Prairie. But ladies, you have a gift, and don't you dare let our society tell you that children are a burden. Children are a blessing. I don't care what the Hollywood actor says. I don't care what the fancy academic. Wait a minute, it's Mother's Day. I'm not supposed to be preaching like that on Mother's Day. It's supposed to be, look, I got flowers on my background. I'm supposed to be sweet. Charlie Kirk, that amazing American Christian defender of faith, was telling young people, find God's person. Men, find God's woman. Women, find God's man. Get married. Provide for your family and have kids and kids and kids. It is every child is a blessing from the Lord Himself to you. Don't you dare let your society, they are lost. They don't even believe in God. They don't believe many times in faith. They don't have, listen, You think it's economically, gas is so expensive, how you can ever afford kids? Because it's not up to you, it's God through you. God will take care of it. Ain't none of us gone hungry. None of our children gone hungry. Why? God provided. You can't work it out on paper, but you can work it out in faith. God provides. Ask Gina and James Kitchen. Gina, does God provide? God provides. How many children y'all got right now you're taking? 14? 14. Some of y'all got to get busy. That's all I'm saying. Some of y'all got to get busy. Now, I wouldn't do that, but Gina just gave that testimony just a while ago. I wouldn't put her on the spot. Y'all may start calling names. Some of y'all got, no, I'm not going to do that. We got a four-point sermon. We got to keep going. Mom, you must see life as sacred. Our world doesn't see life as sacred, but we do as Christians. The Pharaoh then commanded all his people, you must throw every son born to the Hebrews into the Nile, but let every daughter live. Now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman, that's Amram and Jochebed, and the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Right there in the worst of times, they said, you know what? We must follow God rather than men. We're going to listen to God. Human life is from God. It is sacred. The world says life is good. I'm telling you, life is better than good. Life is sacred. Having children is a blessing. And you need to raise them in the Christian faith. This worldly concept that you just let the children decide on their own. You don't do that with school. You don't do that with even the food they eat. Or all they would be eating is Snickers 24/7 and drinking apple juice, not watered down, nonstop. I mean, you have to limit some of that stuff. Why? Because you're the parent, and it's an era of false equivalency if you think all the religions are equal. They're not. There's only one true God, one true religion. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God in the flesh, who lived a perfect sinless life, born of a virgin, died on the cross for the sins of not just Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, but of the world. He is the hope of the world. This idea, I'm just going to let them figure it out for themselves. That's not parenting. Be a parent. Be a parent of faith. Help them defend their faith. I'm all for that. Let them know why Christianity is different from Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism and the different false religions of this world. That's being a parent too. But my friend, there's only one truth. Introduce them to the truth and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your job. Be a mom that sees life as sacred unto God and then introduce them to the one true God. Number three, moms, you must see your child as special. Of course you do. I'm preaching to the choir. Every one of these children came up here beautiful, beautiful. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, in that verse, and Amram, that father, when they saw that child, they saw the uniqueness and the beauty. This child is special. And I'm telling you, every child is special. I'm going to make my case for this. Every child is a one-off, a unique. There'll never be another one like them. There's never been one before them. You are a unique creation of God. At the very height of His creation, you are. He's breathed His Spirit into you so that you can know Him. God is Spirit, and you must worship Him in spirit and truth. How can we do that? Because you're not an animal. You're not a primate. You are a Spirit-infused creation of God. You're different. And all of His creation, dear human, and that baby is to grow up and know God's unique, special call on their life. and you're helping them and introducing them to the truth of Christ and praying for them and nurturing their gifts and talents. They're unique and special. And Moses' mom and dad saw that. And the Exodus 1 and 2 passages, some of your translations has, and they saw how beautiful he was. Another one has how fine that he is. He was special. Your child is special. I'll say one thing about my mother. If I ever come across as, like I say, as my personality, now God gave me that, but my mother encouraged my extrovert nature. My mother raised me, and I'm telling you folks, this may not be the best thing to do for a child, but my mother raised me and said, Greg, you're going to be the next president of the United States. God forbid, I wouldn't want that job. Greg, you are so smart. My dad built me a desk. He was a woodworker in his part-time. Afterward, dad worked, went to work at a factory. Then afterwards, he built him a shop so he can go to work some more. He just worked. And he built cabinetry. And he built me this elaborate study desk with shelving and lights. And I'm telling you, not only they told me, you're going to do good in school, they insisted on it. You can go play. Now, see that desk? I built it for you. Go study. Mom said, you're going to be the president of the United States one day. The point is, just simply my point of saying is, look at your child. We don't know. God knows. But love on them and help them know just how wonderfully beautiful, fine, and special they are. I see you doing that with your children. They're going to make mistakes. There's a parenting. There's teach boundaries. There's time for correction. But let the overwhelming message be to your children, you're special. Let me tell you, say, well, what makes my child special? I'm going to tell you. The same thing that made Moses special. You remember later on in life, he goes out into the far country, becomes Jethro's son-in-law, and Jethro's a shepherd, and he's working for Jethro, and he's out there with his sheep. And then he comes up upon a burning bush. The problem is the bush is never burning, but there's a fire in it. It's a physical phenomenon. How can you have a fire and the bush doesn't burn? It wasn't how special the bush was. What made the bush special? The fire in the bush. That's what made the bush special. One pastor used to preach on this, and his sermon title was, Any Old Bush Will Do. It's the fire in the bush that made it special. What made Moses special? God had a plan for his life. It wasn't his outward appearance. It wasn't his position. It wasn't his background. He was from a slave family. These people had nothing but, they had nothing but dirt. And they didn't even own that. But out of that environment, God raised him up to be the leader of a nation and set them free. Friend, I'm telling you, that child that God gave you is special. Why? Because God is in the midst. God has a plan for that child. That's what makes them special, and that's why every child is special. The last thing, Mom, you must trust your child into the sovereignty of God. I know there's all of us, when you're raising your child, loving your child, feeding, nurturing, providing, all those things. But ultimately, we recognize we're training up our child to follow Christ and discover their life. And at some point, that means you've got to let go. Now, you know that, but you didn't like me saying it. And I get it. And I love you for that. I love you for it. But I'm telling you, you're not letting your child go just to anybody. You're not letting your child go into a random universe of powers. No, you are entrusting your child into the mighty, sovereign, loving, glorious, holy hand of God. This story, the Pharaoh has put an edict out through the land because the midwives feared God more than the Pharaoh. He had to go to plan B, and he just told everybody, if you see a Hebrew little boy, you know what to do. The little girls are fine, but every little boy, we got to stop this reproducing. We got to stop this. And he put a death sentence on every little boy. You know the story. But Jochebed saw her little baby, and she developed her own plan, trusting God. And the Bible says she got some reeds and papyrus, and she got some asphalt and pitch and tar, and made a little ark, a waterproof ark, and put a little cover on it and put it right on the edge of the Nile, so when the water would come, if it had to float, it'd be safe. But she put it right on the bank, and then she told Miriam, her daughter, Moses' sister, now you go out there and keep your eyes on that little basket. Your little baby brother's in there. A mom, after 3 months of weaning this child, now has to say, oh Lord, what are we going to do? And hides the baby on the bank of the Nile and puts the daughter out there to watch it. She is trusting her little baby into the sovereignty of God. What's the rest of the story? Moses in a basket on the bank, God makes a way. Miriam, the sister watching, God makes a way. Suddenly, the daughter of Pharaoh himself comes to bathe at that very same spot in the Nile River, which is the longest river in that continent. But in that one particular place on the Nile where the baby basket is, she chooses to take a bath there, and she hears just like that. And she's, thank you, I didn't plan that, but thank you. She sees, she takes the top off that. There's a baby in this basket. And she notices, as you all know why, this is an Israeli little boy. Holy, and then she takes the baby. And what she's going to do? Up comes Miriam, who's been watching all of this, and says, dear Pharaoh's daughter, I see, oh, you want to keep the baby? You'll need somebody to nurse the baby. Can I go among the Hebrew women who are nursing babies right now and get one to and bring and see if she's acceptable? And she could nurse the baby for you. And Pharaoh's daughter, who doesn't know God is at work behind the scenes, is saying, sure. And guess who Miriam goes and gets? She goes and gets her mother, the mother of Moses. The daughter of Pharaoh, the story goes on to say, this is wonderful. She asked Moses' own mother, would you be willing to nurse my son, and I'll pay you for it. Now, folks, this lady is a slave. Moses is the son of a slave. They have nothing. In that one sovereign act of God, he lifts both of them out of slavery and pays the mother to do what she would normally do, but have to do it as a slave. I'm going to tell you something. Only God can write a story like that. You say, I don't know how to do it. I'm overwhelmed. It's too much. I can't see a way. I'm telling you, have the baby. Mom, keep at it. You're hanging in there. You're doing good. Love your baby. Keep at it. It is hard. God will give you strength. God will make a way. Here's all God is asking you to do is follow Him. You do what you can do and trust God to do what only He can do, and He will do it. Thank you, Mom. You amaze me, you mothers. Let us do whatever we can to raise up motherhood in our church, our nation. Dads, moms, we need you. Children, we need you. Thank you, God, for moms. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, mighty God, we come before you today and ask you, Lord, to do in our life what only you can do. Lord, we ask you today that you would reach out to those who are hurting, provide, show yourself mighty to families. Lord, help us not look at the things of this world, but let us look at you and your word and be guided by it. Father, I thank you for Terry and how she nurtured our sons. I thank you for my daughter-in-laws, how they nurture my grandchildren, and my sons, how they father their children. Father, that's your work. Oh, we prayed that you did what only you could do. And we thank you. Father, somebody here may need Christ. They don't know you. They're trying to do all of this on their own, and it will crush them. They're not righteous enough. They're not smart enough. None of us are. No, not one. But there is one, Jesus, who can save you and strengthen you and bless you and encourage you and take you to God, your Creator, a new person. Lord, help us all. Help that one today turn from their old self-reliant life and humble themselves and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Father, have your way today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing together. Sing from your heart. You come as the Lord leads you.